So I just want to tell on the Gaon says that the name of the Yontif Shavuos, which is spelled without a vav, so Shin, Beis, Ayin, Tav, is the four names of the Yontif. Four names of the Yontif is Shavuos, Bikurim, Atzeres, and Matan Torah. So that's Shin, Beis, Ayin, Tav. But it's interesting, the Torah actually has two other names for it. So it's also called the Chag HaKotzir. And that's also called Yom HaMishim.
Yom HaBikurim.
I said Bikurim. Bikurim, right?
That's part of it, okay.
Shavuos, Bikurim, Atzeres, Torah. So you could also have Chag HaKotzir. Kotzer, and you could also add in Yom HaMishim. So the remnants for that is Chukas Sheva. Chamishim, Kotzer, Torah, Chukas. Sheva is Shavuos, Bikurim, Atzeres. So Chukas Sheva is the remnants to remember the six names for the Yom Tov. So I just want to, obviously the Torah gives it multiple names. It means each one of the names gives us an insight into a different element about the Yom Tov, which we would not have without that name being without the Yom Tov being the defined as such. So, in Parsha Kisisa, it's called Chag Shavuos. So that's its name, which is a very interesting. Batsim is a very interesting name. It's a Chag of Shavuos. It's a Chag of weeks, right? Right. What exactly does it mean? The Chagot Dish Shavuaya is the way the Targum translates it. In Parshas Mishpatim, it's referred to as Chag HaKotzir. Right? So it's called the Chag HaKotzir. Then in Parshas Pinchas, it's called Chag HaBikurim. Not Chag, but Yom HaBikurim. So that's the name that the Torah gives it over there. In Parshas Emor, it's very interesting, the Torah's name for it. Okay? Usratachem Rechavas HaShabbos Miyam HaVeyachim HaShem HaTavah Shabbos HaShabbos 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 And you bring the karbonis. Right, and it's a Yom Tov, so it's almost like, it's like a unique presentation. Is the karbonis seem to be the ikur, whereas all of the Yom Tovim, right? So we start. Mechadosh Rishon is Pes Lashem, Chag HaMatzos, and You bring your kavanas, right? So already called Yom Kippurim. It said what it is, right? Over here, the Torah writes it in a totally different presentation. He says, count the days until Amrachas Shabbos Hashvi'is is Chamishim Yom. Vikratam Mincha Chadash Al Hashem, and it tells you bring a Mincha Shaseichem. It's what it is. Yikralam Alechem Shivas Kvosim Siri Mechatos. The Alechem Vikurim Kvosim Etzem Zeh Mikratash Yelochem Kol Nevelu Sas. Okay. In Parshas Pinchas. Right, in Parshas Re'eh, Shiva Shavuos Tisbolach Mechol Chamesh Tochelis Shiva Shavuos V'Sizal Chag Shavuos LaShem Alekecha. So the Torah calls it Chag Shavuos again, which is the same thing it does in Kisisa. And one other point over there in Pinchas, which is interesting.
Tibishavul Seichem, I think, right? Yeah, when you go Hashem.
Right. So it stresses that it's B'Shavuos Sechem, but the name of the day is B'Yom HaBikurim. Right. I think got all the Torah is Chazal. Chazal refers to it as Torah. Atzeres. It's interesting that the name which is most used by Chazal is Atzeres. Now my mind is blanking. That was there's one place in the Torah where it refers to as Atzeres. Atzeres, where is that? It's in Mishpatim. It's in Kisiso. It's in Amor. It's in Pinchas. It's in Re'eh. But it's five places. Where's the Lashon of Atzeres? Okay, I'm not remembering right now. But you notice the name which is used, that Chazal gave it the name Matan Torah. So Morale says, so why do you give the name Matan Torah? If that's the Iker Nakud of the, which is my Matan Torah Seinu, so why isn't it mentioned in the Psukim? Similar, you know, the Rosh Hashanah, the Yamadin, is not mentioned in the Psukim. It seems to be that there has to be a, quote unquote, a face of the Yomtiv, and then there is the not so obvious understanding of the Yomtiv. I just want to focus on one or two points over here. So Chag HaKotzer is the morale deals with, like, what's shot that the Torah refers to the Yom Tovim based on the agricultural holidays, right? So, right, it's clearly has other meanings besides the agricultural element. Like, what's the good of Chag HaKotzer? So morale in Gevurah says that I'm going to maybe elaborate a little more than what he actually says, but there's a Gemara in Shabbos. Gemara in Shabbos says that an osam matan lechaver tzarach l'diyo. When I give a person a matana, I have to inform him. Matana is the purpose of a matana is to create ava and reyus between individuals. If he doesn't know that I gave it, it's lacking in the matana. Halacha l'maisa is the relevant, for example. A lot of places can hold that the din of Mishloach Manos on Purim, if he doesn't know who it came from, you're not yotzei mizeh Mishloach Manos. So it leaves on I find on my doorstep a Mishloach Manos with no name on it. So I'm assuming the person was yotzei because he gave many other people besides me. But I don't know who it came from. So that the purpose is Mishloach Manos Ishtereyu, right? So the purpose is. So tztaka, the mile is dafka mata b'seishay chaf af. The Tosfos says over there in Shabbos that daf yud obeys that mata by tztaka it's better that it should be given anonymously, but by matanas with dafka the opposite. The Mora says that let's say I take care of a child, so I should be medir the imo the aim. How do I medir the aim? So the kid's not going to come home and tell his mother, you know, he's going to forget. That's kids, right? So the Mora says that when you feed him, you leave a little bit of the food on his face, and he goes home and says, "What happened to you? Why do you have jelly in your face?" He says, "Oh, Rabbi Rangel gave me a jelly sandwich." Oh, okay, so, you know. So now he knows about it, right? I once heard from Rabbi Avinder Miller's Zatzal. He said that when I give a person a watch, I give him a matan as a watch. And so this little slip of paper says how many jewels are in it. You know, it's a 17 jewel watch, a 21 jewel watch. You know. Mm-hmm. Right, leave the slip inside. He should know how valuable you're giving. Because that creates some. I bought a $5 watch. You know, this is a $500 watch. He should know that you know what I'm giving him. You know, that the whole idea is to create the race. So the morale, the Rosham was aware of the fact. This is where Rodayashor brings down the morale. You know, he says that we don't really necessarily realize what's happening in the world of Ruchnis. The Rosh is giving us tremendous matanas of Ruchnis. We don't necessarily realize that. So the Rosh created a physical reality which parallels the Ruchnistic reality. So I can be spoiled from the physical reality what's happening in the spiritual realm and take advantage of the matana that is taking place in the spiritual realm. So Pesach is referred to as Chodesh Aviv. The Russian made a springtime, a time of renewal, to tell me that there is in the spiritual realm a world of renewal as well. So the pasuk says in Kehelis, Kigoya Gavoya, what's the pasuk? Ugoya Malehem, Shemir, Ugoya Malehem. There's levels upon levels upon levels. That's referring to that there's, in Shemayim, there's many different worlds. And each world, this manifests itself in a different way, down to the physical world, which manifests itself. It's the same reality, which manifests itself in many different ways in each one of the different realms. So in the physical realm, it manifests itself as a time of Osif, Sukkot, a time of Katzer, Shavuos, a time of Aviv, Pesach. So Pesach is the Zman of Aviv. Okay, that makes sense. It's a time of it was a birth of a nation. It was a renewal. It was a, so the Rosh Hashanah says that every single year, that physical reality is indicating to you that there's a spiritual reality. There's a time of renewal. Sukkot is a time of osif, of gathering something in. You've had the experiences of the different Yom Tov over the years. Gather it in, pull it in, etc. There's ability to absorb that. So what does Chag HaKatzar represent to us? So obviously it's a time of significant time of rejoicing, etc. So, but he says a different point. He says that you only reap something when it's fully grown. So the Chag HaKatzar represents the time that the Tevuah reached its full growth. I mean, the agricultural system would be they would do the katzer, then they would leave it in the out. You can't store it like that. If it's still moist, it's going to rot. You leave it out in the summer. There's no rain over the summer. After you would harvest it, it would stop growing. You leave it out to dry over the summer, and then you would put it before the rainy season. So this time you'd gather it in. So that's why that's the in gathering. So, but katzer represents something that's fully grown. It's reached its full potential. Right, says what the Torah added to the Yom Tov Shavuos is adding, i.e., the Torah is adding to the world, is the ability to reach the full potential which we have. The Bereshit put into the world ability to grow. Where does this ability to grow come from? But I think what he's saying, and I was the Kudah which I it hit me, he's saying, is there's a mistake which we have about Torah sometimes. We have mankind. And the Rosh Hashanah, as it were, superimposed upon mankind something called Torah, with its expectations and with its mitzvahs, etc. It's not the ability to take the person and make him grow into what he is. It's something superimposed from the outside. That's what the Torah is saying. That's not true. Katzer means all I'm doing is helping you grow. I'm giving you everything you need to grow into the all of the potential is there. I'm not giving you something else which is foreign to you. That's not growth. That's, you might build with that. You might take the building blocks and build something. But smicha is always organic. It's always the reality which is there, the potential which is there, locked in the seed. With the everything that you've done, eventually it grows to its full potential. So the Torah was the vehicle which was put in the world to allow a human being to become what a human being is supposed to be. The greatness of man is intrinsic in man. Without a vehicle to help us accomplish that, we will not expand to become that reality. The Torah was when it gives me that vehicle. So two have nakudas about that. There's a Reb Aaron shared on Tuesday night. He shared a piece from Rav Volba in Das Shlomo on Shavuos, where he talks about Chazal use a lashon that learning Torah allows you to be makar mishum rav ha'yalim. So it's lashon of hakara. So Rav Volba points out that from the Mefarshim and Pshat, the lashon of hakara is always used. When I say I recognize something which is new to me, it's foreign, I don't recognize it. By definition, not. Recognition is always referring to something which I knew, and I wasn't fully. I might have forgotten. I might have. Right, but now that he introduces himself, I said, "Oh, you! I recognize you." Right. So Torah's avoda is not to introduce a Kadosh Baruch Hu to us, which wasn't known to us. It wouldn't be called Hakara. The lashon of Torah allows you to be makir mishomer v'hoya olam. It means that that's intrinsic in the man, this ability to have awareness of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But there's things which prevent us of actualizing that potential knowledge that is intrinsic in us. There's things which prevent that. So comes the Torah and it allows us to recognize a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But that's something that was intrinsic in the man. So the Ramchal says this. The Ramchal has a sefer called Derech Eitz Chaim, which he wrote as introduction to the Eitz Chaim of the Rizal. In the Derech Eitz Chaim, he says that the Bereshit made the nature of our soul in such a way that the truth of the Torah makes sense to it. It's not that I'm saying, listen, I'm going to teach you something new that it doesn't fit into in your way your mind thinks. The Bereshit made the mind of that Batsim, the Torah, is what makes sense to the Neshama. Because the Torah is there first, and the Neshama was built around the Torah. So he says, so every time you are having a kasha, what he means is you're saying it's difficult. What you're saying there's a difficulty means there's something preventing you from understanding. Through the act of a melis, you break through that blockage and you get to understand that which should make sense to you. So he says, it was Rabbi Aaron made a comment. He says, you know, you have like these people like they have an experience, so they have something happens, whatever. They hear something, and it all of a sudden it clicks, and they come back to Torah. Like you hear the story, you know, it wasn't this earth shattering event. What's the pshat? Because the neshama intrinsically, Torah makes sense to it. The neshama intrinsically connects to Torah. So that's what kotzer means. Kotzer means that I'm not superimposing something outside. I'm giving you the vehicle to let your neshama be what it's supposed to be. So Rav Volbe writes this, that when we talk about Mashiach, there's extraordinary descriptions of Mashiach. Sukkim talk about his abilities. Right? So he writes that he has a piece in Chelek Beis where he says that what has happened is that our understanding of the greatness of man, what man could be, and the potential of the godless of the son of a person is diminished. We see that a person is limited, and we see that we rely on technology, and we don't understand how much human being, how great a man could be. Mashiach's role is to convince us, clarify to us how much potential greatness there is locked inside of the man. So you see this extraordinary person. So I think the mashal which I give is, let's say a person, I want to make a yeshiva to produce the best bacham possible. So what am I going to do? So I'm going to sit there, you know, with all my pedagogical abilities and think about what's the most logical way to be mechanel tamidim. Number one, what's the best type of seder hayoyim, what's the best type of limud, etc. That's not enough. I'm going to bring in an individual or individuals which represent to the tamidim what it's supposed to look like. So they'll be role models. They'll be inspiring to them. They'll help them get to that, etc. So the Torah's description of Mashiach is he's going to enforce the rules of the Torah, and he's going to be a great man. That's the two things Mashiach is going to do. He's going to give us back the system, the chinuch system we're supposed to have, which is the Torah, which is mechanech us to be what we're unlock our potential. And he's going to act as the dugma of what it could look like. So I think that's what Morel is saying, that the Torah describes Shavuos as chag kotzer. That's the nekudah kotzer. And one or two other points. I think I shared this word with you once. I don't remember if I did or not. So the Torah describes the counting. You should count the Sheva Shabbosos Timnos Tiyeno. Ad Rosh Shabbosos Tizmo Chamishim Yoyim, and then you bring the korban. Okay, so the Torah clearly defines that the day is a day which is generated through counting. There's Akre Kach, there's a Halachic Shita which takes this so right that he understands that the Chazal says, each person has to count. So what does that mean? So the two basic shitas in halacha. One shita says that even normally there's a halacha of shemei ka'ina. The Torah said, well, no, there's only a shemei ka'ina. You have to count personally. You can't count for me, I should hear it. You might be on the bracha. But the seer itself has to, each person has to count themselves. Mumsha. Second says, no, shemei ka'ina works like everywhere else. It means it's not a sphere which is in Beis Din. Like you have by Yovel, it's a Sphere in Beis Din. This is you're bekeveya. You could have argued you're bekeveya the chagim of there's like kviyas haChodesh is the Beis Din is kviyas haChodesh and that's what's kviyas haChagim. So the Sphere is the Beis Din. Beis Din has to count, not each. So the Beis Din, no, each person individually has to count. The Babish Rebbe has a tshuva where he understands that it's Pasha the Zalach Sphere Lakhalakha Bachot. So that means if I start out the Sphere in Australia and then I fly to America, so I'm Be'etzim one day ahead of Americans because I started counting a day ahead because of the international dateline. So I keep Shavuos a day earlier than everybody else holds. Halakha L'maisa. I start Shavuos, so my day, I come to America and I count my own count, which is a day ahead of everybody else. And my day 50 is Shavuos, regardless of where you're holding. That's how he holds Halakha L'maisa. Which gets involved with all those lachas of how you do it. It's like the Yom Tosheni issues, you know, etc. Vice versa, if I fly from America to Australia, so I'm counting the day behind everybody else. It's like Shavuos a day later. Each person's sphere is kaveya hishuv. That's sphere lecholecha bech. That's what he holds. Okay, so I'm not passing a lechol.
I don't think any chabadniks are doing that now.
What?
I wonder if they.
There are.
When they're going back and forth.
There are. I remember I saw this piece years back. I was like, they do it. I was talking to somebody. You know, a few years ago, he mentioned like, you know, he has a cousin who came to America from Australia during sphere. He says, and he's. He's like keeping a different day shavuos or something like that. Like,
wow.
What's going on? I said, oh wow, cool! Like they really do this, you know? It's real, you know. Wow. It wasn't stam, and you know, the shishikol tari. He means the lachum. He uses the lachum. Wow. So he writes what
they have to do. They have to keep a lachum rabbi in both days, though.
No,
can't do malacha in the whole.
They have a din of. They have a din of.
And everybody else is keeping on to it.
Well, din of like yad hasheni.
Yeah.
Right, but wow. Yeah, wow, okay. But the Torah describes that it's your kaveya the yomta through counting. There's two types of counting, and it's a very interesting thing. We count the days. The Mor says sarklim the yomi, sarklim the shui. Now, the kashas on his shita are very difficult. So women don't have no mitzvah to count. So when's their shuas? We hold the shuas the sphere of Bezvanas as the rabbanon because there is no oimer. It's a din of the Karman Omer. So there's no Sphira nowadays. So when's Yom Tov? If Yom Tov is Nikal Pi the Sphira, so there's no Sphira anymore. There's no Yom Tov anymore. So Shuas, all Shuas is Rabbanon. Like, you know, it's a very, there's a lot of difficulty with that cheat, Halacha L'maisa. And, you know, but conceptually, so we count Sphira, and that's what's Kaveh of the Yom Tov. And you count the Sphira Yomim and Shuas. We count the Yom Shavuos quite differently. We count the day at the beginning of the day. We count the weeks at the end of the week. Right. So a person counts. He comes to that. He doesn't say the first night. It's Yom Echad Omer, and it's the first day of the week. After 7 days have passed, he says, "Oh, this is it's a 1 week." He only counts at the end of the week. He counts the dates at the beginning of the day. You don't say after the first day. One day has passed.
Mm-hmm.
We don't wait till the third night of Pesach and say, you know what? One day of Omer has passed. We don't do that. We count the beginning. And there's to me, you're supposed to count the chatchila earlier in the day. This is the first day of the Omer, right? Mm-hmm. Now, when a week is, so I once heard from Rabbi Einsteiner, Ramesh Einsteiner in Cleveland. He said that there's two ways to make to count things. There is accounting which a person, he's talking about the potential. He says potential is always at the beginning. There is times when you make a cheshbon nefesh of what you've accomplished, that's always at the end. Right? Progress, seeing progress in a as it's happening is very difficult to measure. The best way to measure progress is in retrospect. A period of time has passed. I look back and said, "Look how much I've grown." As you're growing, as you're moving, so a child. I once heard this from a Shiva. Shiva said over from the Mezra Magid. There was once a chassid came to the Rebbe, to the Mezra Magid. He says, "You know, I don't feel like I'm growing anymore." So I remember, like, was like at first started learning, I was growing so much that I was, you know, and, you know, I'm basically doing the same thing every single day, you know, learning the same thing. I don't feel any growth. He says there are two types of growth. There's a liyah b'kat and there's a liyah b'gadlus. A child is born, he does nothing. And all of a sudden, you know, after a few weeks, the child is able to smile. So nowadays, you know, you get on the phone, you call Bubby and Zadie and the Tanta and, you know, the baby smiled, you know. Oh. Then the baby turns over and then, the next thing you know, the baby is able to walk, you know, to crawl. And everything is like, there's a clear, this, you know, 2 days ago he wasn't able to crawl, now he's able to crawl. Push it, it's a major change. Right? He started learning Aleph Beis before he didn't know any. Now he finished Aleph Beis. He started learning. He got a sitter. He started learning Chumash. He was learning Chumash, and now he's learning Chumash. It's a major change. The guy is 18 years old. He's learning Rosh Hashanah Mevorshim. You know, next year Rosh Hashanah Mevorshim. Next year, no major changes. It's the same thing again. Right. So in the world of Katniss, every change is distinct and significant, and it's obvious. In the world of a Gadol, growth is a slow process. So how do you tell? You look back, you know, a person after a year or two or three looks back and says, you know, look how much I've grown compared to 3 years ago. I understand so much better. I have so much more knowledge. I don't see the change by day. It's very hard to see. So there's a sphere of, at the end of a period, you look back and say, look how much you've accomplished. There's a sphere at the beginning of a period, which is the sphere of, I have a day. I'm looking and defining that I have potential to accomplish. I have a whole day ahead of me to do something. Right? So the Torah is mechayev both of those spheres. Right? A lot of people get very they get very disappointed. I don't see myself growing. I don't see the growth. This is, you're making a mistake. That's not how you measure growth. You don't measure growth as it's happening. Okay, we're condensing the concept over a period of weeks. 7 weeks, and we're saying, okay, over a period of time, you can look back and say, you know what? Look how much I've grown since Pesach. Look how much I've added. That's how you can do such a thing. So the Yom Tov of Shavuos is the Yom Tov which it's bedafka defined by counting. It means it has to be that there's movement. What allows you to have a Shaychan to Shavuos is because there is movement. You're not the same person you were once upon a time. But that means it's mechayev you eat to take advantage of each day. But to try and measure what you're accomplishing with it, don't do that during the day. Because I once had a person I was working with, and he was having a guy that, you know, he would take his spiritual growth temperature 5 times a day. You know, like, you know, he's taking his, like, you know, he had, like, people walk around because they have, you know, issues with their, they have, like, you know, they walk around with a constant, you know, blood pressure thing, checking their blood pressure. Like, he was checking his, like, fruit high pressure, you know. And, you know, and for states of him, he was going out of his mind. And I was also going out of my mind because I had to deal with it. Right? So I said, I want to tell you something. There's a fascinating study which had been done in the stock market. The stock market, the studies have been done that if a person would buy from the year 1900 to the year 2000, a century, any stock that a person bought and held for 10 years, any one of 10-year periods, from 1901 to 1910, from 1905 to 1915, from 1929 to 1939, any period of time you will pick, the stock will have shown growth. But during that 10-year period, it goes up and it goes down. And it goes up and it goes down. If you hold that stock for 10 years, guarantee the value of the stock went up. unless the company went bankrupt. So it's an extraordinary thing. It says if you measure, and it can happen some crazy during those 10 years. The variations of the highs and the lows can be very significant. It wasn't like nice, hilly curves. It's, it looks like an EKG. High, low, high, low, high, low. But it starts here and it ends here. You can't measure it every single time, every single day. You're going to go out of your mind. That's not what growth is. Growth is, over a period of time, the ups and the downs eventually add up to something that you're higher at the end than you were at the beginning, as long as you keep moving forward. So the combination of the mim liyomi is that you're moving forward day by day, but you're not measuring the results till you get to the end of a tekufa. That's, I think, the nekuda of counting, one nekuda of the counting. I found a sefer which grabs what the word atzeres means. See, he brings 21 pshatim, based on Reforshim in different places in Tanakh, from the word otzar, one of the pshatim Rashi says, I mean, otzar means to hold back. Like Shmini Atzeres says, he held them back from leaving. Right, so that's. So, in the context of Shavuos, the Katan Matan Torah, it's a Yantav of Atzeres. So, because they'll say that Batsim Shmini Atzeres should have been 6 weeks later after Sukkos. It's a period of Lozer. Should have been 6 weeks later after Sukkos, just like Shavuos is. They give you a period of time to, as it were, sort of absorb what the Yantav has given to you. But since it's going to be the rainy season and it's a chag, it's a regal, so you're supposed to be there to make Klal Yisrael go, and they come back in the rainy season. The Rosh Hashanah had Rachmanos, and he was commanded Shmini Atzeres immediately. So Be'etzem Shavuos is the soif of Pesach. The Ramban used the lashon over here in the Parshas Emor. It's like there was a long cholamoid between Shavuos, Pesach and Shavuos, and this is the end. But the Atzira is almost, it's like there's a counter of Hutner, he talks about that they have a Ni'ilah Sachag. And the Ni'ilah, what does Ni'ilah mean? Ni'ilah means to lock something. You're Ni'ilah something, it's to lock it in. What are you taking with you? So Rav Aaron spoke in Kippur before Ni'ilah a while back. So there's a Moshel in Chazal about there was a Kerem. And we had a fence around it. There was a hole in the carom. And there was a fox who realized that there's a hole in the wall. He's able to get through the wall to get into the carom. So he was able to squeeze through the hole in the wall and comes to the carom, and he's having a good time in the carom. And he wants to leave. He's too fat to get out the hole. So he has to fast. Right, and let go of some of that to take himself out. So the Medrash says that where Rav Aaron touched it, so there's an Elul, there's the 40 days of an Elul, and you've absorbed a lot into yourself. But anything which is just like fat, it's just like the excess, you don't take with you. Anything which became part of your being, that comes out back out of the hole. So the otzar is that which you're holding back, holding on to. There's a lot of lessons you learn. Pesach Seder is wonderful, it's beautiful, it's gorgeous, etc. And what are you taking with you, Lamaisa? What's the atzira? Is the otzar? What are you holding back? There is, you're leaving now. The Pesach season has finished. So it's a time to sort of remember. What are you taking with you? So maybe that's a remez in the name of Atzeres. It's called Chag HaBikurim. The Chazal say that on Shavuos we're nidden on the Paris Ila, which is interesting because Chag HaKotzer are really referring to specifically grains growing, not Paris of the But Bikurim, Bikur is connected to the world of Paris, Elan, etc. I think that's going back to the first idea that, you know, Paris, Elan are even more of a remez to this musig of that the tree is there and it has potential to produce fruit. You see it in some ways very striking in the grains. It just starts as a seed, and that season it grows a tremendous amount. But it was all locked on the seed to start with. We also see it in a different way. The opposite way, you see it in a tree. The tree is, it's existing and it's producing fruit. It's not, I'm making this whole new thing. It's there. I'm just, it's producing the fruit. So Bikurim is that the trees are producing. So it's the Chag of Bikurim. So I think that's, you know, in a certain sense, that it stresses this concept that the growth is an organic growth. So Rav Elber writes about that. He says that we have in Shmonesa, you have the bracha of Bnei Yerushalayim and the bracha of Esemach David. So you have Binyan and Smicha. So he has actually said Smicha Binyan B'chinuch, the two parts of the chinuch process. There's a certain amount that you building blocks, you teach them things, etc. You have to understand that is going to put into them certain seeds which will develop and they will grow over a period of time. Trying to make the process go quicker doesn't work. It's very hard to make things grow more quickly. They grow as the way they're supposed to grow. And some people take longer to grow, some people take shorter to grow. Trying to speed up the process doesn't work. On the other hand, we can give you building blocks to build certain things with. So you have to know, in the world of chinuch, when you're dealing with Zriya, and when you're dealing with Binyan. And we describe that the brush is going to bring the Yeshua, there's elements of Binyan that we're doing, and there's also elements of Smicha. It has to develop over a period of time. There is a certain growth which is going to happen. So both elements are true. So Bikurim, specifically, it clearly stresses this lakuda of the tzmicha element, that the Torah is giving us something it's not, there are building blocks to it. There's the tisperu, which is that you're trying to teach yourself new things, grow each day, taking out of each day, and understanding whatever you've taken in is now going to be absorbed and slowly become part of who you are. And that's the otzar that you're going to have, which is the nakuda of the. So that tzira is the one of your, what are you holding into your reality is that which really grows out of who you are. So that's the chag ha'kotzer, the yom bikurim, and the tzira.